Welcome, everyone, to Dirt Doctor Radio. There'll be no greenwashing here, just accurate advice on products and techniques that are healthy to use, save money, are really good for the environment, and just work better in every way. Tips and suggestions from the listeners are encouraged, so call us today at 866-444-DIRT. That's 866-444-3478. Now it's time to learn about what truly is green living. Here he is, the Dirt Doctor, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome, everybody. Let's talk gardening, landscaping, pest control. There's a couple of pest control issues that have popped up that aren't really a big deal at all, but we'll discuss them and get into some in Howard's garden stuff, what's going on around my place. A lot of it relates to questions that are coming in. Let's start by telling you the number to call in about whatever subject you want to discuss, brag about something, complain about something, questions, give us a report, whatever it is. The number is 1-866-444-3478. 866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. The first thing we're going to talk about is the SPCA here in Dallas. We try to give them a hand as much as we can. Good news from previous features, Cameron was adopted. Trigger, though, is still waiting for his forever home. And I think Trigger was last week. He's a good-looking dude. So check that out on our website on dirtdoctor.com. You go to the SPCA button and go see the dogs that we are talking about. They got a lot of great dogs there and other SPCAs and rescue organizations around the country. And, of course, we recommend that that's where you go no matter where you are to get a pet and help out some of these great little friends. Today's dog is Jake, another good-looking gal. She's a pit bull mix, it says. And maybe so. If so, it doesn't look like there's a lot of pit bull there. It says she's a really sweet girl and rescued from inhumane conditions by an animal cruelty investigator back in December sometime. Let's see. She's black and white. Real good picture of her on our website on dirtdoctor.com. So check that out and check out her and all the other dogs at the SPCA here and other places. The one here in Dallas has a foster program for kitties, little kittens, that's terrific too. So interested in kittens and helping out there, check that out. This SPCA report is sponsored by Espoma. Espoma, a line of organic products that we're delighted to have on board now because, one, high-quality products, a big range of things. They're really into helping with the animals with their product, getting away from the toxic chemicals and the synthetic fertilizers and all that kind of thing. And the other big deal for us is the products are available across the country. One of the biggest questions, talking about questions that I get, is where can I find the products that you're talking about? Espoma products are starting to show up in more and more places. We hope everybody's products are out there more and more across the country, but Espoma's are right now. That kind of relates to an issue we ran into. We run into it all the time, but it kind of bubbled up the last couple of weeks, and that is some of the plants that I talk about not being available at the nurseries. Everything I talk about really is available somewhere, and if the nurseries will just, you know, take the time to contact some of their suppliers, some of the things like Montezuma cypress and the Mexican white oak and the Parodia, the Persian ironwood, and the other more unusual things for people talking about in the North Texas area and through the South here, just if you ask for them, they are available. We're going to maybe try to go. I don't know if I'm going to be able to go on the day of the event or not, but there's an event coming up for those of you in Texas, especially in East Texas, but it's not that far a drive for people because it's a pretty special event no matter where you are. And in Texas or the surrounding states. Stephen F. Austin has an event, I guess, once a year, maybe more than once a year. They have a plant sale, like some of the local people do here in the Dallas area, the Heard Museum and the Discovery Gardens and different people. But Stephen F. Austin in Nacogdoches has a plant sale. And it's pretty special because David Creech, who's semi-retired now as the head of horticulture, but still involved, they have a research situation there on trees and other plants. They really specialize in trees. David's really into bald cypress and Montezuma cypress and crossbreeds. He goes to China. I need to get him on the show. I don't know if he'll have time soon, but with what all is going on, we'll try to have him on sometime soon to talk about the research they're doing in China when he goes over there. But they have the Montezuma cypress and the crossbreeds available at this plant sale. They also have Parodia in two different forms, he was telling me. One is the Parodia or Persian ironwood, like I have in my backyard, that has the gorgeous yellow fall color. It is just a fantastic plant. It's getting pretty big now. It really loves the soil and the conditions we have there, the organic program, kind of like the ginkgo tree. In fact, it's real close to my champion now. I think if I can get anybody to come out and measure it, ginkgo tree. But they also have another Persian ironwood, and he was telling me about a couple days ago, and that's one that turns bright red in the fall. So it's a completely different species. So if you're looking, it's called Scutia. No, I mean, that's the maple. These guys got a maple that also is spectacular. The species, the different species on the Parodia, I forget the species name. I'll try to look it up. But the main thing to do is just ask for the one that turns. If you go there, ask for the one that turns red. That one may be hard to find and only there. But the one that turns yellow, which is a great tree, that's the one I've got. It's probably available in a lot of different places. I got mine originally mail order, so that's a way a lot of you can go if your nurseries don't bring those trees in. Well, I take it back. I got one of my Parodia. I'll tell you the story real quick. I got one of my Parodia from mail order, a little one. In fact, I got a couple of them. And I got one that's a little larger from a local nursery here. Probably 8 or 10 years ago, I guess. I bought it, and the tag on it said witch hazel. And at the time, I didn't really know the difference. They are fairly closely related, but I learned later on, after I had put pictures of it and posted it on the website and everything else as a witch hazel, I discovered that its true identity was this tree called Parodia or Persian ironwood, and it's a lot better than witch hazel. Witch hazel is a cool plant. It has really neat flowers at an unusual time in the fall and winter, but in the fall primarily, but it's not nearly as tough and not as well adapted to a wide range of soils as this Parodia is. The Parodia also has extremely interesting flowering. It flowers in the dead of winter. And it's these little red clusters of flower-like growths that happen way up in the top of the tree. If it's any size, you may not even notice them until they start falling on the ground. But you can see more information about the plant on our website on dirtdoctor.com. If you want to go buy some, they're going to be available for sale April the 1st, which I think is this Saturday, is it not? And a lot of other really cool plants they've got over there, too. I'm really interested in what they're doing there in Nacogdoches at Stephen F. Austin. Questions about the organic material that's all over the ground right now, the oak flowers. It fascinates me every year that I get questions about this and just oak leaves in general, oak foliage that's on the ground in general. Of course, a lot of the oak leaves fall down in the autumn and the fall, and then the live oaks and the Mexican white oak, which is usually completely evergreen. It's a little different this year, and I'll tell you about what I'm seeing that's a little unusual there. But the cambi oak that's evergreen to semi-evergreen, in other words, all of those that are in the semi-evergreen to evergreen category will kick off their leaves now. They started, you know, a month ago, and it's going on now, and it'll continue for another month or so, depending on where you are in the country. Well, what to do with oak leaves, and the one I've been getting the most questions about lately, the oak flowers, we'll talk about when I come back. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and a lot of other things, too. I'm the Dirt Doctor. The telephone number, if you want to call and chat, is 866-444-3478. The website's dirtdoctor.com. The contest picture is up. We'll be back. When various pains slow you down, you should reach for real-time pain relief. It's non-greasy, relieves pain in minutes, smells great, and contains no harmful chemicals, GMOs, parabens, or SLS. Ask for it at your favorite store. You can also order it today and receive a free $10 tube with your purchase of $10 or more by texting DIRT to 90407, calling 877-787-7180, or going to rtpr.com and using the promo code DIRT.
Ladybug Natural manufactures extremely high-quality compost, granular and liquid organic fertilizers, mulches, soil amendments, and the nutrient-rich magic sand. All Ladybug products start with the finest all-natural raw materials and have dependable consistency. Ask for Ladybug at garden centers, farm stores, hardware stores, Whole Foods, and other quality retailers. To find a store and for more information, visit ladybugbrand.com.
As we age, our glutathione levels drop dramatically, and that's a big deal because glutathione is our body's master antioxidant, repairing cell damage caused by environmental toxins and aging. RegActive's probiotic strain ME3 is proven to naturally stimulate and produce glutathione in the body. RegActive is from Essential Formulas, known for introducing Dr. O'Hara's fantastic probiotics to the United States 15 years ago. Dirt Doctor advice, look for RegActive at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Farms and greenhouses throughout America rely on BioSafe systems for healthier plants and better yields. You too can enjoy longer blooms and better results in your own backyard and garden with BioSafe weed control, disease control, and plant food. BioSafe Systems believes products should be effective and safe for use around pets, children, and wildlife. Our products are certified organic, so you can feel good about using them in your own backyard. Visit us online today at www.biosafe.net to learn more. BioSafe Systems, simply sustainable, always effective.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to DirtDoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. That telephone number, if you want to give a guess on the contest picture. I don't think it'll be really tough today, but we'll see how it works out. If you're not familiar with it, we put a photograph of something. Usually it's plants, but not always, on DirtDoctor.com on the homepage. It's under that main window that's right there at the top of the page that changes when you first go there. And if you want to speed it up, you can just click on the little button at the bottom of the picture, bottom of the image there that's all the way at the right. And if you identify what the mystery photograph is, you win one of our classes, the Natural Organic Certification course. Of course, anybody can sign up for it anytime. It's something we do and give away one of them each week. There may have been one week where nobody ever got the contest picture. I can't remember. There was one that took a couple that have taken a long time. This one ought to be fairly easy. It's a plant that we talk about a fair amount and that I've become a fan of. And you can tell from the photograph, it's very colorful. It'll grow in a wide range across the United States, and it's a good one to use. Well, back to the oak leaves before we go to the phone and oak flowers. I hear on a fairly regular basis, and I've seen it written too, that too many oak leaves, and I get questions related to this, too many oak leaves will make the soil too acidic and be bad for the soil and bad for what's growing under the plants. And I always say that if that's the case, the forests are in real trouble, aren't they? It's a silly thing. There's no problem with the oak leaves on the ground, and there's no problem with what we're seeing now, and that's the flowers. I will say, and I talked to Bob Webster on his show Saturday, as we always do Saturday mornings, that this is the heaviest production of oak flowers I've ever seen. And I've been in this business a long time. Well, it's the heaviest I've ever, you know, paid any attention to, I guess is what I ought to say. It's the light, fluffy, kind of golden brown stuff that's all over the ground, and you'll see some yellow pollen or yellow residue from the these flowers all over your car and all over things as well. So people, of course, are asking me about, is it okay? And I've heard people considering this a negative thing and putting it in bags and sending it to the landfill. And that's a horrible thing to do. It's a valuable, very positive asset for you. And I threw it on Facebook and on Twitter as well and got a fair amount of response from it. So I hope people pass the information on. It's very easy to pick up by hand or rake up. And number one choice for it is put in beds over bare soil. It makes a fantastic mulch, just a great mulch. It stays, it's light, it breathes very well. Water in and out, the gases in and out, oxygen, carbon dioxide transfer and all that. So it's a great mulch. And if you've already got mulch, putting it on top of the mulch you have, that's fine. It's not going to cause any problem at all, and it will eventually be of benefit. If you mix it into some potting soil at a fairly low percentage, that'd be another way to use some of it. And then the final thing and the worst use I would recommend would be to put in the compost pile. And if you've already, in other words, if you don't have any bare soil, don't have any place to use any mulch at all, just put it in the compost pile. Or you can put it out in the lawn and mow it. When it's mowed, it will shrink by a tremendous percentage and, you know, go into the turf and be a positive thing there. So the oak flowers are nothing but a benefit and a positive thing for you, so don't worry about that at all. The other question that has come up is, by the way, I didn't mention my tea. My tea is one I've done the last couple of weeks, and it may be the simplest of all the teas I've ever done, but it's pretty good. You might want to give it a try. I used lemon, fresh lemon, and fresh key lime, fresh limes, into, of course, the clean water brought almost to a boil, let it steep for a while, and then I added some honey, and that's all that's in it, is lemon and lime, fresh juice out of the fruit, and honey, and it is it's a good tea, so give that a shot. The other question that's starting to pop up, and I think we'll hear a lot more about it, as you have new foliage that emerges on your plants. Of course, we're still in the window. I probably ought to mention this so I don't forget it. We're still in the window for putting out your trichogramma wasps and your beneficial nematodes. And it doesn't matter if you're just doing landscaping or if you have herb gardens and vegetable gardens or all of the above. I recommend doing those two releases at the time where the new foliage is emerging. We're still in that window pretty much. For example, the pecan trees, I just saw the first of the leaf emergence on pecan trees on a golf course I was looking at yesterday, and some pecans haven't even started yet. And I'm talking about the Dallas-Fort Worth area here. Those of you north may still have plenty of window left to put those things out. And the timing is sometime during the emergent of the new growth. And you're going to head off all kinds of pests with that approach. I'm going to talk about a little more detail about that, what we're trying to control and how to release them properly and all that when I come back. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. The telephone number is 866-444-3478, and we'll go to the phones. We've had some Al Holden for a while. We'll talk to him about Brussels sprouts right after this.
Gardeners, do you want to receive the best how-to videos for everything you need to know for successful food gardens and landscapes? This video course is taught with 15 chapters of instruction and includes a detailed 25-page study booklet. It's fun, easy, and covers organic gardening, landscaping, and farming. To learn more or sign up for the course, go to dirtdoctor.com. That's dirtdoctor.com, and click on the certification course banner.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
If you were there for the dawning of the Age of Aquarius, this message is for you. You can fight the effects of aging by eating right, exercising, and getting some garlic every day. The healing and health-giving properties of garlic are as wonderful as Venus aligning with Mars. And the easiest way to get all of garlic's benefits is with Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Natural aging makes organically grown kyolic a true antioxidant. Hospital and university studies show that kyolic aged garlic extract helps maintain healthy cholesterol levels and normal blood pressure while improving circulation. Kyolic even helps build your immune system so you can keep on keeping on. For more information or to find a store near you, visit kyolic.com. That's K-Y-O-L-I-C.com. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract for people who take their garlic and their health seriously. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit HowardGarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Oh, the birds beat me back. Sorry about that. I'm throwing my headset around here. See if I can get it back on. We were talking about the next question that I'm getting a lot as the insect problems kind of pop up here. Aphids are sort of at the top of the list. They're extremely common at this time of the year. Aphids are very unusual, very interesting insects because they can vary so much. They come in all sizes, all colors. They can be born, without mating. They're an incredibly adaptive kind of an insect. When I do my insect talks, my insect and disease talks and lectures and so forth, I usually start off with aphids because a lot of people consider them a serious pest. And I think the people that hate them the most are the people that are right now having to have cars parked under them or have furniture, outdoor furniture under trees where aphids are, and they're getting the sticky residue. The sticky residue is aphid waste. It's the honeydew that's coming down. And I would consider that probably the biggest problem because when they're attacking a plant, rather than considering them a pest, it's really better to consider them a benefit, an asset, a beneficial in this way. what is happening when you have aphids on a plant is if that plant is in stress. Now, it's the case with a lot of insects, but it's definitely the case with aphids. The difference, though, with these small insects, and some of them are big. There's one called giant bark aphid that's pretty fascinating. You'll see that one on the twigs of trees and things like that, just kind of sitting around, and sometimes lady beetles bouncing off of them and trying to control them and having a hard time because they're about the same size. They do very, very little damage, and they usually don't do the honeydew problem. They can, but it's a little unusual. But anyway, when you see aphids of any kind, whether they're black, gray, green, beige color, whatever it is, on a plant, you know that plant is in stress for some reason. And so figuring out the stress is the long-term control. On the other hand, you may not even need to do anything because a lot of times it's a temporary stress when you have the temperature changing in the spring. You know, things are warming up and there's a little bit of a roller coaster effect still going on. There can be a temporary stress in the plants enough just from that for the aphids to come on temporarily. Now, especially on bedding plants, things like annuals and perennials, low-growing things where you can look at it closer, even if you decided to spray and use one of the non-toxic kind of sprays, you may not want to do it because there's probably lady beetles all over the place that are taking care of the issue for you. Look for the little alligator larvae as well as the pupae that might be stuck to the foliage and the adults as well. If you see them, you wouldn't even want to spray soapy water or a mild orange oil spray or something like that. Maybe not even garlic pepper tea as a repellent. You can. You could just spray a blast of water and knock them off. That force of knocking them off the plant, leaving their mouth parts still stuck in the plant, actually controls them to a great degree too. We'll talk more about that as we go. I got quite a few things, but let's get caught up with some of the callers. As I mentioned first, let's see if I can get it all set up right here. Here's Al in Dallas first up this morning. Hello, Al.
Good morning, Mr. Garrett.
Are you there, Al? Al, you there?
Yes. Yes, can you hear me?
Well, let me put Al back on hold. That sounds dead as it can be, Mary Rose. Alex, are you there in Grand Prairie?
Hello?
Okay, something's going on with the phones. Mary Rose, can you hear me? We got an issue there. Anyway, we'll continue with my stuff, and then we'll get back to the callers that are waiting there. So in other words, aphids can be considered a friend. Almost every time I see aphids on plants, I look a little bit closer at the plant, I'll find some of the lady beetles. There are other beneficials as well that aren't as easy to detect, aren't as easy to see. For example, the green lacewing, beautiful little fly that's so beneficial. You may have some of the larvae of that beneficial on the plants, and it's pretty hard to detect them. They look a little bit like the larvae of lady beetles, little alligator looking things, but they're about half as big, so they're a lot harder to detect. So do the spraying kind of as a last step, final step, if you have to. And what you use to kill them, you can use any of the very mild organic controls. We've done the last two newsletters, if you missed those, about the things that I recommend at this time of the year that'll help you with all kinds of insect pests, the trichogramma wasps and the beneficial nematodes. The reason you put out the trichogramma wasps is primarily for caterpillars, the lepidopterous insects, the caterpillars that come from moths, and some butterflies have some larvae that are pests to a degree too, but you're mainly controlling the larvae of moths, those caterpillars. And so when you put out the trichogramma wasp, and you're still in the window to do it, like I said, you put out little squares or strips that look like sandpaper. When you order these things from mail order, if your local nurseries, feed stores, hardware stores, garden centers don't have them in stock, when you get them, you'll find two things. They'll be in a plastic container usually, sealed, and there'll be these strips or cards inside of these plastic bag, kind of like a Ziploc bag. You'll see the strips or cards, and you'll also, if you look closely, you'll see a little dustiness inside the bag. And if you look real closely, or especially with a loop, you might see that dust moving around. The trichogramma wasps are almost microscopic, but when you get an order of them and look closely, there'll be some that have already hatched, and they're moving around, and they're tiny little dark brown or black specks. So tear the bag open outside so they can get away, because they are viable, just like the ones that would come out of the sandpaper-looking stuff. The sandpaper, all those bumps on that sandpaper-looking material are moth eggs, and inside each one of those moth eggs is where the entire life cycle of the trichogramma wasp is. So caterpillars up to and including the pecan case bearer, a lot of people, whether you're a homeowner or a large-scale production operation with hundreds or thousands of trees, the trichogramma wasp is something you don't want to not use. Now, when you're under an organic program, I will say this. If you were a commercial pecan grower and you put out trichogramma wasp for a couple of years, one thing that we discovered, Malcolm Beck discovered it first, and I've seen it as well, and we put information about this into the Texas bug book that we did. After you've made those trichogramma releases for a year or two, you will develop it's a native insect, so you will develop kind of a background of natives there if you're not spraying toxic chemicals and killing. If you're using a complete organic program, you will get to a point, especially if you're using nice clean water and spraying things that aren't killing at all, you're going to have trichogramma wasps coming back naturally without having to re-release them every year. You'll have to make that call yourself. It's a subjective call, and you do it just based on skipping a year and seeing if the pressure from the pest kicked up or not. That's really the only way you'd know for sure. But Malcolm always preached that having a little bit of trichogramma wasp damage was a good thing, that it would cut the amount, the volume of pecans on the tree back, so you wouldn't have the tree so heavily loaded. You'd have larger pecans and all that kind of thing. So, again, you can look at some of these insects that we'd consider real pests as from a different light, that they're in some way beneficial and helpful to what you're doing. The beneficial nematodes, on the other hand, control pests that are in the ground. And what you have to realize is that a very large percentage of the pests that we deal with have one or more of their life cycles in the ground. And it doesn't matter whether it's grubworms or termites or fire ants or spotted cucumber beetle or what the pest is, fleas and ticks. Most of those pests have one of their life cycles in the ground. And what that means is that the beneficial nematodes are going to give you some degree of control of those pests if you do it on a regular basis. Now, there are some organic gardeners, and I don't know if I am in this camp or not, but there's some organic gardeners that believe that you should buy and release beneficial nematodes two or three or even four times during a growing season to have better coverage and better control. I generally release them once in the spring. If I have something pop up again, like a flea problem out of nowhere comes back for some reason or something like that happens, releasing them again is fine. But for most of you, doing the beneficial nematodes one time at this time in the spring when things are emerging and starting to grow will take care of pests for a very long time for you. There's three different ways of buying beneficial nematodes. One is that they come in kind of a dry material. It's vermiculite. It's almost like a really super lightweight potting soil that they come in. There are those who believe that that's the least most powerful way to buy them, that the more when I say powerful, to get the most control, to have the most viable living nematodes, the other two ways are better. I haven't done the specific research on it to determine that, so you can just read about it and go which way you want to go. The second way to buy nematodes is from companies, various mail order companies, and sometimes the garden centers and hardware stores and all will have them brought in and keep them in refrigerators, which is essential, by the way, if they're going to do that. They come in little trays, and they're about 3 inches by 3 inches by a little under a half inch thick, I guess. And inside, you pull the plastic off, and inside these little flat trays is what looks like a kind of a dryish putty. And you take out little pinches of it, and you put it in your watering can, stir around, or your 5 gallon bucket. Espoma has extremely high quality organic products, including liquid plant foods with the innovative Easy Dose cap. Espoma also has a full line of granular organic lawn and garden foods, potting soils, and soil amendments that fit the Dirt Doctor program perfectly. Ask for Espoma products at garden centers, hardware, and other quality stores all across the U.S. For information on stores and products, visit espoma.com or call 1-800-634-0603.
Do your probiotics have baggage? They should. You see, if your probiotics do not include prebiotics as well as postbiotics, then you're missing out on a lot of healthy benefits. Most probiotic products do not contain prebiotics, their food, or postbiotics, the organic matter that promotes the long-term colonization of the good versus bad bacteria in your body. But Dr. O'Hara's probiotics does. Select live probiotic bacteria are blended with fruits, vegetables, seaweed, and herbs, and allowed to grow over 3 years to assure superior digestive and immune support. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics then combines this rich culture medium, prebiotics, and the resulting nutrients from this fermentation process, postbiotics, providing you with a superior probiotic supplement. No other probiotic can offer your body this support. So switch to the best premium probiotic on your retailer shelf today. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, available at fine health food stores. Don't accept a substitute.
Lava sand is a critical part of my organic recommendations for bed preparation and general soil improvement, especially for farms and ranches. I have found a high-quality lava product with significant paramagnetism. It's American Rio and their Maverick Lava Sand Soil Amendment. It'll dramatically improve your soil and increase plant production. You can buy it in bags or bulk. Call Sean at 405-426-7752. That's 405-426-7752 or go to AmericanRio.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests,
Spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus, and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to dirtdoctor.com. Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
Trees become infested with insects and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and pathogens are just doing their jobs, trying to take out the unfit plants. Most plant sickness is environmental. Too much water? Maybe not enough water. Too much fertilizer or the wrong kind of fertilizer. Toxic chemical pesticides, the compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting certain plant species, and creating monocultures. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in a stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insects and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically: 1. Stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic chemical pesticides. 2. Remove excess soil from the root flare. 3. Apply organic amendments. And 4. Spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice Monthly. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Howard, back with you. And that was all my fault. I accidentally, when I got my headphones tangled up, pulled the cord out, and so I didn't have any headphones. So we'll talk to the callers in just a second. I think I was cut off at the end because I couldn't hear the birds either at the break. The end of the beneficial nematode thing, I'm not sure exactly where I've ended there, but the main thing is that there's three different ways. The final one that I didn't mention, besides the dry material, the beneficial nematodes that come in a little tray that look like putty. The third one, the nematodes come on a blue sponge. There are people that will argue pretty strongly that that's the best way to go. It's also the most expensive way to go. The nematodes are in that blue moist sponge. Well, however you buy them, you put them into a water vessel, 5-gallon bucket or something, stir them up, put that into the sprayer, and this is a place where you can use a hose-end sprayer. So the only time I really say it's a good idea to use a hose-end sprayer, because they're inconsistent. With nematodes, you don't have to get perfectly even distribution. In fact, I even put them in a great big watering can and just walk around and slosh them out on the ground. And if there's something else about trichogramma wasp or beneficial nematodes, give me a call about that, because we're definitely in that window still, and it's for sure something that I recommend that everybody do. All righty, let's see if we can get Al in Dallas now. Hello, Al.
North Texas' greatest natural living resource on organic gardening. How are you, Mr. Garrett?
Well, I appreciate that, Al. I'm doing great. How about you?
Real fine. Listen, I just want you to spend the briefest time on how to grow seedlings for Brussels sprouts plants, because I told your screener I'm also thinking about growing a fruit this spring, and it happens to be part of what you're drinking this morning. I'm interested in getting some key lime plants started, and I wanted to know if I can grow seedlings from seeds extracted from the fruit bought commercially, or if our great public benefactors at Monsanto have made the seeds hybrid so that nobody can grow them without buying them from them.
No, they haven't done that yet with the fruit, but I'm sure they're trying to figure out how to do it. Yes.
Well, when do you think enough people are going to rise up and ask the question, who turned over the world's food supply to this diabolical company?
Well, it's happening more and more. There's pressure building, and they're actually looking at making some changes, you know, in the Roundup arena that we all are attacking so properly, and other things as well, including this seed situation. But to answer your question on growing key limes or any kind of fruit from a seed, you can do it, and you can usually germinate the seed fairly easily and get something going. The rub is you don't know what you're going to get because you don't know who the parents are. You don't know what produced those seed in that fruit. Give it a try and see if it works for you. It's fun to play with, but the only way you're going to get really good, high-quality key limes or lemons or grapefruit or whatever you're trying to grow, apples, is to get transplants, get a grafted transplant where you know exactly what you're getting. You see what I mean?
Yeah, and where do you suggest I go to get a transplant, a graft?
Well, there's all kinds of mail order places, if your local nurseries don't have them in stock, that sell small trees and do mail order, and it's a perfectly good way to go.
Well, that's the way I'll go. That. And by the way, do those little suckers get any bigger than the ones you buy in the store, or are they just picking them early, or what?
No, key limes are smaller. They're smaller, and they tend to be more round than a regular lemon. But the sweetness and all, as you know, is just far superior. I like it. I grew one in the past, and I forgot what I did. I probably did something stupid like leaving it out and let it get frozen. You've got to protect them. You know, you've got to grow them in containers and protect them in cold weather. There's no winter hardy key limes. So
I know I'm going to have to keep them in big pots to bring them in the winter.
Right. And on the Brussels sprouts, just get from your local. That's one thing that will be easy to find is seed from your local garden center or nursery and get them going. You're a little bit late. It would have been better to have gotten them going and set them out, you know, a little earlier in the year. At this time, you can also get transplants from some of your nurseries, and that's a good way to go with Brussels sprouts is get some little transplants and get them out there, and they'll do fine for you. It's a pretty tough a vegetable to grow.
Well, I know I'm looking at about 5 years before I'm going to get any viable fruit. Is that right?
No, they produce Brussels sprouts the first season.
Oh, they do?
Oh, yeah, you bet. Especially if you get some transplants where they started them in the winter and they're got a nice size, go ahead and get them planted right away, and you'll do fine.
But they're still hard to cultivate.
No, it's a pretty easy one. I think that there's a misconception in general that they're harder to grow than some other vegetables, but they're really not. I think the biggest problem is a lot of people just don't like Brussels sprouts. I happen to love them. I think they're great. Yeah, give it a shot, and let me know how it works for you. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Al. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. I'm sorry we were able to get some of the things I needed to cover in since I couldn't figure out that I had my headphones unplugged. They're plugged back in now. We'll go right back to your phone calls when I come back, so don't go away. Telephone number 866-444-3478. Got some people wanting to guess the contest picture if you want to. Get information about our class. It's right on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. Our free newsletter is there, too.